The wonder of hymns is that they can express our innermost feelings and thoughts. And often we long to just be able to articulate how we feel and what we know and the reality of God's grace at work in our lives. And so God's provided hymns and hymn writers to help us express those innermost thoughts and feelings. And I think that hymn in particular perhaps summarizes my heart, particularly over these last couple of weeks. And so we're thankful to God that even though some of our warmest thoughts of him are so often very cold, we're thankful that for many of us this morning we can say, he is my Lord, he's my shepherd, he's my brother, he's my friend, he's my prophet, he's my priest, he's my king. And when I see him as he is, I'll praise him as I ought. Please turn with me in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 16. And as many of you will be aware, this is part of Jesus's farewell discourse. And he's in the upper room, he's speaking primarily to his disciples. And I just want to focus on the last few verses of chapter 16 this morning. We'll see how we go. Time's always an issue on these occasions, but we'll see how we go, and we trust the Lord that he would help us and grant us understanding of this word, and that he will help us to apply it to our hearts and our everyday experience. End of verse 31, Jesus speaking, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you'll be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Life is tough. And just because you are a Christian this morning, you are not immune from the struggles and the sufferings of this world. It's tough. There are many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world today who are facing persecution. It's tough. Sadly, there are some Christians today will lose their life on account of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very tough. There are young girls in parts of the world who are being shamefully abused and mistreated because they refuse to deny their love of the Savior. It's very, very tough. There are those of God's children in parts of the world today who cannot meet with any sense of freedom or liberty. And if they do so, they'll be imprisoned. And many are in prison today. It's tough. And whilst we think life for us can be tough, and I don't want to minimize the struggles and the sorrow and the things that we endure here, but we need to understand that if you're looking for an uncomplicated, straightforward relationship with the Lord, and that life will be great and everything will be plain sailing, then you're not reading the gospel that I read of in my Bible. Jesus is speaking and explaining to his disciples that life is going to get so much tougher for these men. And there is a sense that I believe that things in our land are going to get tougher in the days that lie ahead. Don't fall into the trap of thinking if everyone can be vaccinated and we can all have two jabs, then we can just go back to how things were. Then maybe you've got a shock coming. Now, I don't know the future, but I know one who holds the future. And he's willing to guide us. He's willing to be with us. He's willing to help and by his grace sustain. But the message he has on this evening in the upper room prior to his death, the message that he has for his disciples 2,000 years ago is in some ways a similar message to us today. That Jesus says this: I want you to know these things that have been recorded in my word. And I've said these things to you that in me, verse 33, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, some translation says you'll have trouble. But be of good cheer. Take heart. I, says Jesus, have overcome the world. And so this word, it rings true for even us today, that in this world we will have trials and troubles and tribulation. But I've told you these things in order that you might have peace in me. And of course, on Sunday mornings through this month of February, we are considering the God of peace and experiencing the peace of God. Now, what things has Jesus been speaking and explaining to his disciples? And if we go back to the beginning of our reading, started there in verse 16, we see something of Jesus telling them that I'm going to leave you for a little while. That phrase there. But then you will see me in a little while. And so the obvious question that's on the hearts of the disciples is this: what does he mean by a little while? I wonder if you've been in situations, maybe as a young child, you've been in a situation and someone has communicated something to you, and then you go away and you say, oh yeah, thank you. And you go away pondering and thinking, reflecting, what did they mean? I wonder. Not just children, but maybe in adulthood, we've had that experience. What did he mean by that? And so the disciples here, who we saw last Sunday morning, are just like us. They're ordinary men, really. And they're thinking, and they discuss amongst themselves, what does he mean a little while? Now, of course, this morning, if you're a Christian, you might be sat at home with your Bible open and pray, praise God if you are. And you might be thinking, but it's obvious, isn't it? It's obvious that he's going to go to the cross and he's going to die and rise again. So you're not going to see me for a little while, then you will see me in a little while. Well, praise God, because you see that and you know that and you understand that because you're looking back 2,000 years. But who's revealed that to you? Who's revealed the truth of the gospel to you? The Holy Spirit. And Jesus, up until a certain point, would speak to them using figures of speech, figurative language, puzzles. And you think about it for a moment. I just want to give you a broad sweep here of the context. But think of it for a moment. There would have been many times when the disciples would have been listening to Jesus, to his teaching and to his conversation and to his preaching. And he must have said things that left them scratching their head. You must be born again. What's all that about? Or destroy the temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days? Well, that's impossible. Or if any of you are thirsty, come to me and I'll give you water. And whoever drinks of the water that I give them, they'll never thirst again. And they'll have like rivers and fountains of water that will issue up from within. And they're thinking, my word, what on earth is he saying? And in closer examination and with a closer inspection of this chapter and this farewell discourse, you'll see a couple of phrases that crop up. And the phrases is this: a time is coming, and also the phrase, a time has now come. Look at verse 25, a time is coming, or the hour is coming, when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech. And then again, if you look in verse 32, he then says this in verse 32, behold, the hour or time is coming, indeed it has come. And so we need to understand that there was a time that Jesus didn't speak plainly and clearly to them. And there was a reason. And a couple of the reasons, I'm sure there are more than two, but a couple of the reasons is, firstly, that they wouldn't have had the capacity to absorb all that Jesus wanted to share and impart with them and to them. And that's the first thing. They wouldn't have had the capacity to absorb it. So Jesus graciously understands the timetable that he and the Father and the Holy Spirit are working towards. A time is coming. Do you remember when he was in that wedding feast in Cana of Galilee? You know, and he clearly said to his mother, my time has not yet come. And that's a theme all the way through John's Gospel. A time is coming. A time has now come. And so the verses that we have considered this morning, they come under the time has now come. And so those things that Jesus hadn't shared with them, because he didn't feel they had the capacity to absorb it, but also he is now talking about a time when things will be different. That moving forward, things will be very different to how they once were. And I think there's the parallel, if you like, to how we find ourselves today in Wales in 2021. If we think that once the whole nation's been vaccinated, we can just go back to how things were, I think you're going to be disappointed. And I think here that Jesus, in breaking down and gradually sharing something of his eternal plan and the eternal timetable, a time is coming, a time has now come. And even the disciples admit and confess that they now are beginning to understand. Ah, now I get it. Now you're beginning to speak plainly. And a maths teacher in school, Mr. Cambytes. He was an interesting chap, but I have to say, thank God for Mr. Cambytes. I don't know if he's still alive. Perhaps he is. But thank God for Mr. Cambytes, because he patiently persevered with me. I was written off by the rest of the maths department, but Mr. Cambytes, he hung in there. You know, and he'd say to me, now, Andrew, which was very unusual, because when I was in grammar school, you were never called by your first name. You were always addressed by your surname. It was always Pitt. But he used to say to me, now, Andrew, I'm going to help you, but you've got to trust me. You know, and I go home and it seemed to make sense in class. When, as soon as I got home and watched a bit of telly and then brought out my maths books out, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't retain what was said. But he said, now, listen, there's no gain without some pain. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But you've got to hang in there. You've got to trust me. In a sense, Jesus is saying to his disciples, listen now, things are going to happen, things will be said, things will be spoken about, you will see things, you'll be exposed to things, and you're not going to make any sense of this. But I want to say this, I want you to hang in there. I'm telling you these things now, that in me you'll have peace. You see, our God takes no delight, it takes no pleasure in seeing his children going through trials, troubles, persecutions. It takes no delight in that. You know, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? What was he guilty of? He was found guilty because he was praying to his God, the God of heaven and earth, Israel's God. And he was thrown into the lion's den. I can't even begin to imagine how terrifying that would have been. I mean, when I went round Pill recently, I was petrified of a little dog who was showing its sharp teeth to me. Imagine being in a den of lions. But isn't it amazing that he needed, in a sense, he needed that experience. And we need to be in similar experiences, trials, tribulations, troubles. Because you see, when we go through trials, when we go through tribulation, the prayer is not, Lord, take me out of this trial. Daniel's prayer wasn't, take me out of the den of lions. But the prayer is, and should be, if you're in a den of lions, Lord, shut the lion's mouths. Because a faith that is tested is a genuine faith. Or a faith that's not tested is proved to be not genuine. So the first thing is, faith. Their faith, Jesus says, is going to be tested. So he says this, do you believe? They said, oh, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and we do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you have come from God. And Jesus answers them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has now come when you will be scattered. Matthew 26, verse 31, and in Mark 14, verse 27, we read Jesus' words that they will desert him. So Jesus is talking about his impending death. He's talking about his departure. But he's also talking to them about their desertion. And so we read that, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. He said, you will run. You will flee from me. You will desert me. And so in that moment, in what's now about to occur, your faith is going to be tested. But a genuine faith will always be tested. And so that's why he says, I want you to remember that as long as you're in this world, there will be tribulation. And they're going to be exposed to Jesus being falsely accused. They're going to be exposed to Jesus being beaten, mocked, scoffed. They're going to spit at him. He's going to be the object of ridicule. And then he'll be taken and he'll be nailed to a cross. As we saw last Sunday morning, he'll be nailed to a cross. And he'll be publicly humiliated. And they'll be jeering at him. And they'll be saying, oh, if you are Jesus, if you are the Christ, why don't you come down? Why doesn't God come down and rescue you? He saved others. Yet he cannot save himself. In that moment, Jesus on the cross could have called 10,000 angels. But he decided to die, to suffer, to bleed and to die for you and for me. Why? Because that was why he came. The reason for his coming was the cross. And through his death on the cross, he could pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. He came to redeem us through his blood shed on the cross. And so Jesus is saying to them, your faith is going to be tested. Tribulation. It's going to be hard. And they're going to scatter. When the going gets tough, They ran. They denied. They deserted him. They turned their backs on him. Are there times as a Christian you feel like keeping your head down? Keeping stumm? When the conversation in the office or in the workplace, when people are saying things that you know to be wholly untrue and that you know from a biblical perspective that you need to speak up and say something, but for a quiet life, for an easy life, you keep your head down. Keep stumm. Keep my head down. You know, a famous saying today in our culture is don't get involved. You know, I read a report recently that, was it 2/3 of people won't report a crime when they see it because they don't want to get involved. For all sorts of reasons. If you are a follower, a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, then you will have trouble. For those who love God and those who know God and those who are the followers of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be persecuted. Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. But I tell you these things so that you might find peace in me. Because even in the midst of sorrow, trouble, distress, and despair, there is peace available. Peace is found in him. Peace is found in Christ. Why? Because he says this. I want you to take heart. I want you to know this. That even though, for the disciples, you're not going to see me for a little while, you will then see me. That whilst you will be in sorrow and you'll be grieving, your sorrow will be turned to joy. You will see me. I want you to take heart. I want you to know that even though you will face trouble, and even though you will face tribulation, take heart. Or in some translations it says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And even before Christ had gone to the cross, it wasn't quite the time. We're right there. It's nearing. It's imminent. But Christ knew. He knew that ultimately he's victorious. Because Christ is the living God. And in that sense, you know, those saints of old, those Old Testament believers, by faith, taking God at his word, in a sense knew that they were secure. Even though Christ had not come, even though Calvary had not taken place, by faith they heard the promises of God and they took heart. And they lived their lives in response to God's word. That is living by faith. Trusting, believing what God has said. You see, occasionally you might come across Christians who will say to you, hey, listen, particularly if you're going through difficulties and troubles and pain and sorrows and struggles, I've got a word for you. And some Christians will talk about words of knowledge. I don't need to hear a word of knowledge. I have it here. God speaks. Sure he does. He speaks to me through his word. He reveals himself to me through his son. He gives me his spirit to help me and to sustain me. And he will grant me understanding of his word. He will, through the preaching and the reading and the study of God's word, his spirit will come and put his finger, as it were, on the areas of my life that need divine and holy correction. God's word rebukes and corrects and instructs so that we might be thoroughly equipped to do his work and furnished with his righteousness. So the first thought is this, that their faith is going to be tested. But Jesus says this then, secondly, but the time has now come, right, that I will be comforted. See that? You'll be scattered, each to his own home, and you'll leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. So he's saying this, that actually, as the Father has been with me in eternity past, so the Father is with me now. And so you may desert me. You may head for home and keep your heads down and keep sturm. But I'm comforted. And in a sense, this is important. Because we know at the cross, Jesus cries out in that moment, Father, why have you forsaken me? And we know why that occurred in that moment. Because Jesus was bearing the sins of the world in that moment. And the Father turns his face away as wounds that mar the chosen one. Judgment fell. Darkness covered the face of the earth. Why? Because judgment that we deserve was falling upon him. Bearing shame, scoffing rude. In my place, condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, with his ransomed church to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior. But it's important for the disciples to understand that the Father who loves the Son loves all those who are in the Son. All those who trust in the Son. You see, we only love God this morning because he first loved us. He took the initiative. He loved us even before time began. But the Father who loves us, the Father who loves the Son, that unity that we see in the Godhead is something that we see when we come by faith, repenting of our sins, and placing our trust in Jesus Christ, that he restores us and he reconciles us to our Father in heaven. And so even in their despair, they will receive comfort, and you will receive comfort. And so Jesus shows them that how the Father will reach out to the Son, so he, in the future, will reach out to all those who believe and acknowledge the name of Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Things are changing. A time has now come. And so we see, firstly, that their faith will be tested, they'll be scattered, that Christ will be comforted by the Father. He says, thirdly, your memory will be stirred. Verse 33, I have said these things to you, that you will remember. And those sayings of mine will come back to you. The Spirit of God will bring them to your remembrance. Your memory will be stirred. Friends, even in the darkest moment of trials and despair and death, and anguish, God's word comes back to our remembrance. Why? Because his Spirit who lives in us brings that word to our remembrance. Memories are stirred to equip us, to encourage us, that we can keep on going. Keep on trusting. Keep on believing. Do you have those moments of doubt? Sure you do. Because you're human. I do. I'm sure you do. What happens in those moments of doubt? I'll tell you what happens. For the child of God, the Father, by and through his Spirit, he brings back to your remembrance those great and many precious promises concerning Christ and who you are in him. In other words, the Father says, never forget that in him you are secure. In him you can enjoy peace. Because the peace that you enjoy from the God of peace isn't reliant or isn't according to your circumstances. You can be the poorest person in the world, financially, and have so much peace and contentment. You could be lying on your hospital bed today in pain and discomfort and have the peace of God, and in your soul can be content. Why? Because our peace, the peace that we enjoy through Christ in God, isn't according to our circumstances. Because Christ himself is the one who is the source of our peace. It's according to who he is. The faithful, unchanging God. The one who loved you so much that he laid down his life for you. I have authority to lay down my life. I have authority to take up again. There's no higher name than Jesus. And so he says this there, that not only will the memory be stirred, but fourthly, peace will be discovered. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Peace in a world of tribulation. Have you discovered the very real peace of God? Are you enjoying the very real peace of God? You see, that's a very different question to, are things going well in your life? You see, what Jesus is saying is, you can be in the midst of sorrow, grief, struggle, suffering, disappointments, despair, anguish. And all those emotions are very real to our people today. Not just Christians, but non-Christians as well. There's uncertainty. The unemployment statistics are growing by the day. Thank God the death toll is coming down. And those infected by this coronavirus, the numbers are coming down for now. No complacency. And people say, oh, I can't wait till we can just have tea and coffee in the lounge again. And can't just wait to go to our favourite holiday destination. And can't wait to get up out on the golf course. And can't wait for the art class to resume in church and the youth work to resume in church. And all the things that we once did in church to be resumed. Cannot wait. But in the midst of all the uncertainty, for the Christian this morning, we can have peace because our peace is found in him. And he tells us these things that we can have peace because we know that he, fourthly, there's a victory to be established. He has overcome the world. He's overcome the world. He says this before the cross because he knows he's victorious. He knows there's going to be great pain, sorrow. It's going to be distressing for the Saviour. But ultimately he knew that he had to do what it would take in order to pay the price for those who ignore God in this world, for those who rebel against God in this world, to pay the penalty and the price for the sins of the world. And he was willing to go through all that you may have peace. Peace with God, to be at peace with heaven, to be at peace with one another. Despite the circumstances, to know that enduring and lasting, authentic peace that is found only in Christ Jesus, a victory to be established. He came. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. You see, our salvation is a wonderful thing. The Father planned it. The Son procured it, and the Spirit applies it. The work of a triune God. And Jesus says to his disciples, and he said this to, and says this to us this morning, I tell you these things, I want you to know these things, that in me you will have peace. For in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And so, friends, if you don't enjoy that peace, if you lack that peace, if you've never really come in repentance of your sin, and you've never, by faith, asked God to forgive you in the name of Jesus, then you can do that today. Jesus said there will be a time, and this is the time now for us, that in me and through me, you can have access to the Father. No one comes to the Father, says Jesus, except through me. He's opened up access to the Father God. And that we can come to him on account of Christ. We can come to him through Christ. And we can pray to him in the name of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can this morning, you can pray, Lord God, save me. Save me from all my sin and rebellion. Cleanse me, wash me, forgive me, help me, restore me. All those words will do. I remember once listening to Stuart Ollett said, sometimes from a person's heart can be enough. Because you may not have the words, but even a cry or an from the pit of your soul, asking God in the name of Jesus, in his name, on account of his merit, Jesus said, I tell you these things so that in me you'll have peace. Take heart. I have overcome not just sin, not just death, but I've overcome the world. May the Lord bless our hearts, renew our hearts, refresh our hearts this day on account of Christ and his finished work on the cross for you and for me. Well, we're going to close. And again, the words of this hymn